Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
What's happening, everybody? Episode 18 of Unkillable. Welcome. What's going on? Happy early new year to you. Jeez. Listen, guys, this is just the absolute definition of hell, of sporting hell, of terminal pain. Another 3.5 hours of our life we'll never get back. While we go through it, at this point, I ask myself more and more why I subject myself to this shit. This boring, just incredibly obvious where it's going to lead result. And, you know, obviously, like, we haven't broke down many games here for a while, but this will encapsulate how awful it was. And I've got to get to Garrett Wilson and some of the reports with Ian Rappaport. We'll really focus on that in a second. I do want to give you a little recap and just to kind of point something out. Two plays that jumped out to me. With Rodgers, I'm sure some of you will start chirping for Tyrod Taylor. Oh, he came off the bench and he threw. Oh, he's got to be the guy next year. Spare me. Stop. All right. But the Jets had 16 penalties today. 16 penalties for 120 yards. Just absolutely laughable and disgraceful. They had two fumbles, one by Rodgers, one by Garrett Wilson. They had no sacks, of course. Their defense grossly overrated. All that stuff, right? Now, the two plays I want to point out quickly here, because I already know where this is going once we get into the Rodgers-Garrett Wilson report. So, again, you know, you're really, I'm not delusional enough to think that this would have changed the result of the game at all, but it certainly does point out just when you're a poorly coached team and you have weaknesses at certain spots, it's impossible to play well. Two things that I think a lot of Jet fans will jump on Aaron Rodgers for. And I'm here to exonerate Aaron Rodgers on both. The first one, we had 2nd and 8. It was about 8:47 to go. 2nd and 8, Jets of the Buffalo Bills, 12. And, all right, so this is the first interception. Now, this is after, I guess, Max Mitchell got hurt, and obviously Moses got hurt as well. But on the left side, Warren absolutely has to initiate just quicker contact. It's blocking one-on-one. Set, hut, boom, get your hands up and at least, you know, drive. Again, I know it's easy sitting in my office, understood, but this is what they do for a living. You know, if you just get your hands in his chest, right, and you thump him properly and the timing is, you don't have to be a star, but if you at least get up in him for a second, I don't know who the hell that was who got their hands up and tipped it, and then obviously the interception. So instead of being a touchdown eventually, because they had some blocking right there that probably would have led to a touchdown, if not, they get at least three. They had another play after that if they don't get the first down. So they're scoring something. Instead, 7-0 becomes eventually 14-0, and the route is on and the game is over. But, you know, if Warren can do his job, just remotely do his job. Just get your hands up. If you can get your hands up, then I don't think that ball's intercepted. I think it's 7. Either way, I do exonerate Rodgers. It goes on his ledger. That's fine. That's the way it is. It's a team sport. But that is not Rodgers' fault. Excuse me. I don't think. The other one, the safety. All right. Now, this was with 2:31 to go. They're going nowhere. They're obviously pinned inside their own 5. And so I don't expect this to be a positive drive or a positive result. But, you know, Max Mitchell gets, like, his reaction time and his technique and his ability to even, you know, just push the pass rusher on the left side, on Rodgers' left side, just a little bit out of the frame just to give Rodgers a chance. He didn't even do it. So, I mean, what Rodgers, hell, Michael Vick's not running out of that. Prime Michael Vick's not going to run out of that. Josh Allen's probably not going to run out of that either. So I get it. Those are two plays that look atrocious. You know, the tip ball, Jets are driving. Oh, Rodgers, he doesn't have it anymore. Yeah. Well, if the absolute zero on the right side of the line did his job, it's not an interception. It's probably a touchdown. And then if the zero on the left side with 2:31 to go even just has a speck of interest in being physical and doing his job, guess what? Rodgers doesn't get, you know, doesn't have to go up in a ball and take the sack. So those are two things that'll be all over social media. Rodgers is washed. It's Rodgers' fault. If you know football, I'm not saying Rodgers played well, but specific to those two plays, not Rodgers' fault. You disagree? That's fine. That's what the comment section is for. I get it. Not everybody agrees. Now, coming into today, all right, the last eight games, I mean, I know you saw the graphic here. Rodgers had 14 touchdowns and one pick. 14 touchdowns and one pick. I can count on probably two fingers how many Jets did that over the course of any eight games in my lifetime. Maybe Vinny Testaverde in 98, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2015. Maybe I'd have to check the game logs there. Not that I will, but maybe. I don't even really think that Pennington would have done that because Pennington didn't throw a lot of picks, but didn't throw a ton of touchdowns. So what does it tell you? I mean, you know, really. And by the way, I'm getting fed up with these stupid graphics. Like, I understand that they've got to do their job. I know that. I'm saying this, you know, kind of with a smile, but not really. It is their job. But how many times can you put up a graphic highlighting the ineptitude of the Jets? Today was an extra spec. We all know that the Jets have the longest running North American team playoff drought in team sports. I was redundant, but you know what I mean, at 14 years. Well, now we go a little bit of a layer deep, right? A little bit deeper into this. 22 straight years without a divisional title and five straight years with 10 plus losses. These Sundays, they absolutely suck. So I'm sitting there. I think it's 33-0 at this point. And I'm sitting in my chair like this as always, right? Bored out of my mind, just wanting this shit to end so I can start the pod and actually have some fun. And my wife walks by and we watch. I told you last pod, I watched all three of the documentaries Enigma on Netflix. I reviewed it last pod. Check it out. Phenomenal. That's the short version. I liked Rodgers going in. I love Rodgers now. Okay. So she says to me, and she watched, I watched it again with her. I watched the first one last night. She really wanted to watch. I'm like, all right, I thought it was interesting enough. Maybe you watch something again. Maybe you pick up something that you miss. So we watched the first one last night before we went to sleep. And I'm sitting here like this. I got my notepad. And again, I think it was 33-0. And she walks by. She's going in the basement for a second. And she says, man, even Aaron Rodgers can't break the curse of the Jets. And I'm sitting there like, this is, you know, I love her to death. And she loves, you know, watching football. To say that she knows football would be a stretch. So I'm not going to get into a debate like I would with Sal on the fan or on social media. Not that I'm on social media to debate. I got zero interest in having a football conversation at that point with my wife when the Jets are losing 33-0. All right. So I'm just like, yeah, no, I hear you. I don't know. Yeah, I got you. Yep. And to her credit, she's not really belaboring it. And she feels sorry for me and she feels sorry for Rodgers. And she's like, well, you know, when did this start? Meaning the curse. And I'm like within that frame, within about a 10-second snippet, I see every Jet malfunction in my lifetime flash between every synapse in my mind. I'm like, and of course, I don't verbalize anything. I'm like, nah, I don't know. It's been a while. I'm like, geez, I can't with this team anymore. They are just, it's not even anger. Like it obviously I'm not mad about today's game because what could you possibly expect going into this game? They were almost 10-point dogs. You know, I mean, everybody's banged up. They can't run. They can't stop the run. They're the most penalties in the NFL. It seems like they have a high school staff. Now, I will say this. Then I'll get to the Ian Rappaport report, which will be the meat of this pod here, right? So And I do get this on some human level, not to give them a pass because it's their job to be better than this. And what they put on film is going to ultimately dictate how much money they make. All right. Their earning power is dictated. You know, other teams don't give a shit what the score is when they look at players that are going to get cut or that are free agents from the Jets. And they will be appealing to other teams because different schemes and different skill sets, whatever. And when you commit all these penalties, I think that the 16 penalties for 120 yards, it's just, it's really, wow. You commit penalties at this stage of the season for two reasons. Number one, well, really three, goes back to coaching, and this goes back to Saleh and not, you know, drilling it in at practice and drilling it out of a bad team like a Parcells would or a Sean Payton would or one of those guys or Mike Tomlin would or Belichick would or hopefully somebody like Vrabel will here for the Jets. The penalties happen at this stage of the season, number one, because players just simply no longer give a shit. So when they're in practice, they're going through the motions. They're not watching film with any sort of vigor. Like, they're just checked out. They don't really schematically, they're not really dialed into what the opposition's doing. So they're just half-assing it. And I guess, again, that's why I said from a human nature perspective, when things are hopeless and helpless, man, I know it's easy for us to sit here and say, you know, you're a pro, earn your money, do your job. But doing your job is exponentially complicated when there's zero to play for. I do understand that. I don't give them a pass, but at least I get it. The other byproduct of all these stupid penalties is that at this point, and this I also get, like guys are just saying to themselves, I'm going out, I'm getting mine. And the way I'm getting mine is I'm making a splash play. So how do you make a splash play? You try to, you know, get a read off the ball. You jump a half a tick early, offsides. You try to make a pick or, you know, really, you know, like defend a pass. And you're a tick early, there's the flag, pass interference. Like, you know, you try to hold the block a little longer to spring somebody loose. And, you know, because you try to put that on film for the next team or the next staff. And you get sloppy in technique. And instead of being, you know, padded up here at the shoulders, you turn a little bit. You don't let go in time. Body twists and turns. There's the flag holding the gates of big play. Breece Hall, that happened early in the game. This is why this happens. Just so everybody knows. Like, it's not like these guys are inept. It's not like these guys don't care, although I do think certainly their level of interest has decayed by the week here. But there's many reasons for the penalties. It all starts with a lack of accountability from the coaches. That, to me, is number one. I don't care what level you coach. I don't care if you have the worst team in the league. If you hammer home fundamentals, you're going to see a stark improvement in how players perform in those situations. Now, in football, if you don't have guys that can win, like I know I just got on Max Mitchell before. He sucks. Yeah, he's trash. So I can't crush him. And I only spent a minute on him on that play where he whiffed. And obviously Aaron Rodgers got sacked in the end zone for safety. But if you don't have the horses one-on-one just to win, how many times do you hear, and it gets corny, but you hear like a Romo or a former player say, you know, certainly do your job, which is common, but hey, you got to win. You got to win. Win the rep, win the battle, win. And by winning, you're just essentially beating your man. And the way you beat your man, twofold: be either a ninja when it comes to technique, disengagement, intellect, the ability to compartmentalize in real time, like this, I don't want to say like a poem, like a coach's poem book, but this anticipatory nature of what you're supposed to do combined with what you anticipate, but also kind of know based on film work what the opponent's about to do. You roll it up in one big ball. Guess what happens? You win. All right. But generally you win because I line up and he lines up and I'm faster, I'm tougher, I'm stronger, I'm bigger, I'm better. All right. I'm more determined. I'm more buttoned up in my fundamentals, and I'm more ready because I've been dialed in all week knowing what you're going to do. That's how you win. So I know that the Jets don't have enough to win. Now, it should never look like this, as we well know. And then, of course, I think it was, I was a little busy this morning. Maybe it happened earlier. Let's get to the Ian Rappaport report, who I love. I love Ian. I used to have Ian on the show for about 2 years on The Fan. Great reporter, good guy. incredibly well-sourced, not a sensationalist, you know, not a fire starter, not a shit stirrer on social media. He is a reporter, okay? He is a well-sourced guy. Let me tell you how this works. So, first of all, his report was that if Rodgers is back, he's not sure. This is him telling us what he gathered. If Garrett Wilson wants to come back. Okay. So here's how it works in pro sports. Now, I'm not a reporter, but I've gotten scoops. Not many, because I don't pursue them. But I've had a few things come my way. I've gone with it on the air. And if I go with it on the air, it's because I know it's coming from somebody that I know is right. And I'm not going to put myself in that position to break news or to reveal the situation in a locker room if I don't know for sure. All right. That's why I don't do it that often. But Rappaport, the way he would get something like that, it comes from a couple of different ways. Number one, maybe Garrett Wilson told him straight up, texting, whatever. He's at the building, off the practice field, blah, blah, blah. And you have a little conversation. Maybe it just came from Garrett himself. It may have come from somebody in Garrett Wilson's camp. That's usually how it goes. So the players get a layer of separation between themselves and the actual stuff that gets out there. It very well may have come from, you know, not to throw these guys under the bus because I like them both and I'm not accusing them of anything here. Although I do think, you know, back to a lot of the reporting with The Athletic and Diana Russini, I do think, can't prove it. And I love Diana and I respect her, but I do think a lot of this stuff is coming from, you know, Robert Saleh or Joe Douglas, who are both disgruntled and probably deep down feel as if, and I get this on some level as well, subverted by the worst owner in pro sports. And out of self-preservation, they go out, they manufacture, but they share some information. So that it's then out there for future employers. Oh, geez, look, man, geez. I mean, if Woody's kids are doing this or this is happening or that's happening, I mean, can you really blame Saleh and Joe Douglas for this circus? And what it does in their minds, and quite frankly, in the minds of some other teams, it changes how they're perceived. So I understand why they would do that, right? But specific to Rappaport and this Wilson report, I don't know exactly where it came from. I gave you a few possibilities. It doesn't really matter. I just wanted to take you through the process because it's, for me, with somebody like Ian, it's or Schefter or, you know, one of the big, big reporters, right? Shams in the NBA. It's more, you know, Woj before that. It's more about the report and I'm less concerned where it came from and I'm much more wrapped up in the viability of said report. So I totally believe this from Ian Rappaport. Not that he's never been wrong. Not that he won't ever be wrong again. I believe this. I believe that Garrett Wilson is disgruntled. All right, now, so again, translated, the report is if from Ian, he believes that the way it's framed is important. He believes that if Aaron Rodgers is back next season, this is not verbatim, but it's close enough. I don't want to misrepresent anybody's point, that if Rodgers is back, then there's a strong belief, strong possibility that Garrett Wilson does not want to return to the Jets. Okay, now, first of all, let me give you some numbers because at the end of the day, we could talk about who you want to hire as a coach. Do you want Rodgers back? Who do you want to be the GM? What do you think about Woody? What do you think about the stadium? What do you think about everything? A lot of that stuff is subjective outside of the record and the stats. Let me give you a couple stats with Garrett Wilson. All right. So Garrett Wilson, who's had a good year, not an amazing year. Garrett Wilson is, where the hell is it now? Garrett Wilson is fourth in targets going into today. Fourth in targets behind Ja'Marr Chase, Malik Nabers. By the way, the Giants won. Oh, my God. And CeeDee Lamb. Those are the top three. Ja'Marr Chase, Nabers, CeeDee Lamb. Two of the absolute undeniable best receivers in football, and a Nabers one who's going to be there eventually with a better quarterback and a better scheme. Okay. He's four. So he is fourth in targets. He's 10th in receptions. Yeah, he's dropped a couple. Remember the pick that went off his pads? It happens to everybody. Not calling him out with that. But now those are irrefutable. Those are statistically true. All right. Factually true. What I think is most important to those numbers, to give you a little context here, is that the New York Jets going into today's game were 25th in time of possession. Now, just think about this in common mathematical terms. If you very rarely have the football relative to the rest of your peers in the NFL, and by being 25th in time of possession, that's clearly where you reside, don't you think that the amount of catches and targets that you have are going to be adversely impacted just by the lack of plays that you run as an offense in totality? Can anybody refute that? The answer is no, you cannot. All right. So everybody knows that. I don't know if Garrett Wilson knows that, but I know that. And everybody else does know that. And I think Garrett needs to know that if he doesn't already know that. I like Garrett Wilson. Let me be very clear and very straight about something here. I want Garrett Wilson on this team. Garrett Wilson, to me, is one of the few consistent winners in this building. I was going to do this, and it just kind of hit my mind too late. I didn't have time to do the research. I would almost bet that the 3 years he's been in the NFL, his team has lost more games combined in those 3 years than his college team has lost this century. Think about that. He is a winner. He is an inherent winner. He is a dog. He is accountable. He is, you know, he shows up, he posts, he doesn't get hurt that much, and he makes plays. He's really, really good. But this is nonsense. This is nonsense. This is selfish. And I will give young players, although he's not a rookie or a second-year player at this point, but this has happened in the past with him as well, where he's voiced frustrations, whether it was with, you know, Zach or, yeah, I don't know that he really called out Mike White, but similar shit, you know, not getting the ball. And I get it. You want to win. And when you put in this time during the week and you practice all summer and you lift and you do all the plyometrics and all the stuff you do to prepare your body for a grueling season, and you go out and you lose and you don't score any points and you lose, you only score a couple points, you lose. It is not impossible, because there are some who do this. It is almost impossible to stay above the fray, both be mentally and physically engaged to the point where it doesn't adversely impact you. I understand that. That is not easy. It's just not easy. I'll give you an example. It's not apples to apples, but I don't know. I mean, it's something that I could relate to, and it just popped in my head, so I'll share it with you. So years ago, right, when I was on 1050 ESPN Radio, back with Stephen A, years ago, back in the day, right? If you used to listen to that station, you know that station, you could not hear us in certain points. You just could. The signal was atrocious. Everybody in the industry knew it. And it was so frustrating, not just to me, but to Michael Kay and everybody else, Don, that was on the station. We would pump out good shows, really good shows, really good work. And like, we just wouldn't notice any sizable gains in the ratings. Well, how do you accrue ratings? Well, people have to hear you. And when they hear you, now it's digitalized in the car. Back then it was a little bit of a different format. I won't bore you with that. But the way you get ratings in radio, especially in the early 2000s, was to be able to hear that. Now you could obviously go to your phone. If you miss me and Sal, oh, I missed the guys. What did they say? You know, what they say about Soto? Boom. Let me go to the Odyssey app. BT and Sal, Boomer and Geo, Evan and Tiki. Check it out. Okay, bang. And then that could, if it's done within a certain time frame, equate to ratings. Whatever. I don't want to get too off track here. The point is, I remember, like, and I was young. I'm still hungry. Not young, but I'm still hungry. I was a young, ferocious, hungry broadcaster who was given shit. My dad's a retired detective. I knew nobody in the business. I didn't go to Syracuse. I didn't go to one of these big schools. My dad wasn't a broadcaster. Like, I had to fight for everything that I got. All right. And when I was on the air, I treated that like my game, like my Super Bowl. I could be on at 10 o'clock at night or 1 in the morning. That was my Super Bowl. Right. And, you know, and I'm not alone. Others at the station too, speaking just myself now, I would pump out these shows, and then the ratings would come out, and it would be so disheartening. Now, nobody's interviewing me after a show like they interview Garrett Wills. That's why I say it's not apples to apples. But I understand when things aren't even, just like Aaron Rodgers doesn't, Garrett Wilson doesn't have the same chance to win like his counterparts on Buffalo, their receivers today, because it's not even. And, you know, if you want to loosely translate that to back then WFAN's monster signal that Mike and Chris and everybody else enjoyed versus this little teeny tiny antenna that we had that nobody can hear. It was frustrating. But did I get on the air? Nobody can really hear me. It doesn't really matter. No. It is go time. Because even if the ratings aren't going up, people are hearing me, and I'm doing this for my career. All right? So that's how I process. I have no time, and I've got no tolerance for excuses. All right? Now, there is context, which I did incorporate there. And I also want to incorporate this to be fair to Garrett. I know, even though he's fourth in targets, 10th in receptions, and the Jets are 25th in time of possession, and that last stat's important. I told you why before. There is definitely a precipitous drop in the volume of targets and receptions that he has had since Devontae Adams came here, all right? But he was frustrated last year. You know, he was frustrated the year before. He was frustrated in training camp. Remember that video? I didn't make too much of it, but maybe now, in hindsight, him and Rodgers having a little discourse, disagreement, engagement on the practice field. I like that. To me, I'm like, all right, those are two competitive alphas trying to get on the same page. I actually liked it. But the drop since Adams, I will give him some wiggle room to be upset. I'm not saying he said it, but if he's saying to his buddies, like, look at this, man, forcing it to his boy, trying to get his 500 touchdown to him. I get that. I could see that. But, you know, the other stuff, there's no correlation statistically, mathematically, to really back up his complaint. Honestly, there's enough things here with this season to pick apart like a lab rat. How much is wrong with the Jets? I'm sorry, but the amount of throws, the amount of looks that Garrett Wilson gets on offense, to me, is like 37th on the list. It's not a real issue to me. Now I'm getting worked up today. You know what? Good. You know, you can't be apathetic with this stuff, and I'm not. I'm so tired of this shit. It really is. It's disheartening. Okay. You laid it out. You told us what you think. What's the solution? Well, let's say there's so many different trap doors here. It's impossible to really give you a definitive take on what's going to happen. So I'll give you two or three distinct possibilities. Number one, Aaron Rodgers says, I'm done with this. I'm done with football. I'm tapping out. I'm cool with my record, my legacy. I retire. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could. All right. The next thing that could happen, whomever they hire, Rodgers likes it. He's reinvigorated. He believes in what they're espousing and what they're trying to do. And he's reengaged again. Not that I think he's checked out, but he's, you know, excited again to play football. And he's back because the staff wants him back. That's another possibility. Another possibility would be the staff comes in and they sit down with Aaron and they're going into the meeting. They're open to bringing him back. And he's open to playing, but after having a very open and honest discussion, they both come to the conclusion that it's time, you know, it's good that, you know, you don't come back and play for us. And no hard feelings, but then the Jets find a way to cut him, trade him, whatever, you know, ship him somewhere else, whatever. That's possible. I do think that that's distinctly possible. What can happen is Aaron Rodgers returns and the Jets get rid of Garrett Wilson. Under no circumstance could that happen. Zero. No way. No way do you get rid of a 24-year-old. Now, I don't know if he's a superstar. Maybe he is in a different system with some different circumstances. I don't, like, he's not, he's really, really, really good. I think he's actually tier two, at the top of tier two for receivers. He's not Chase. He's not Jefferson. Not those guys. But I think he's right there. And he's just not physically imposing, so he's not going to make those tough grabs in traffic too often. And I think for me, that's maybe why it dials him down a level or so. But there's no way you're getting rid of him. You're not going to let Garrett Wilson talk himself out of being a Jet. And if you do, then you're even dumber than I think. Like, now it's one thing. Let me give you an alternative view here. It's one thing. Well, you're certainly not going to do it to keep Rodgers. Like, there's no way you're like, All right, Aaron Rodgers or Garrett Wilson. All right, Garrett, you know, we'll acquiesce to your trade demands if it comes to that. I don't know that it will, but if it does, we'll trade you to whomever. Aaron's back. I mean, who the hell does that help? It helps nobody. That cannot, I'd like to say that that will not happen, but honestly, with this team, I cannot say that with 100% conviction, so I won't, because I have no idea what the owner's going to do. I wouldn't do it. I don't think they'll be dumb enough to do it. But again, with them, you never know. So what should happen is whomever the new coach is, sit down after you sit down with Rodgers to make sure you want him. And if you decide that you do and he wants to come back, you sit down with both of these men, two alphas in their own right, and you hash this out. If you think it's to the point where it's not fixable, you know, you'd have to consider this on some level, but like if Wilson's agent clearly communicates to the Jets, no matter what you do, even if Rodgers is gone, we want out of this circus. There is no way we're resigning with you. He hates, which I don't think he hates being a Jet. He hates being a Jet. Trade him or he's not stepping on. Like at that. Now that is worst case. And now you might have to trade him. Who knows at that point? But those are all the circumstances. But I don't know. And listen, I'll be further fair because I think I've been pretty fair to Garrett. You know where I stand. I really like him. I really want him to stay. And I do think there's been times where, and I've seen it on social media as well, where he's open and he's running down a, you know, whatever kind of route. And he's going to wave at his hand and he doesn't get that. He's open. And the ball goes somewhere else. It happened last year with Zach too and Mike White, right? And, you know, you kind of see him like that. I get that, dude. You work all week. You're open. You want the ball. I'm not going to get mad at you for that. Understood. But now, if it begins to manifest itself further by planting stories, telling, you know, bringing the building stuff to a reputable reporter like Ian Rappaport, that's where, to me, I have an issue because now it's further fragmenting the building. And Garrett's one of the only pieces in this building that's worth keeping. Let me, Fashanu, Olu was very good before he got hurt. I would have loved to see him play these final couple. He graded out awesome. So they do have a left tackle moving forward. You know, I'm not going to run down the weapons they have. You know them. Let me get my guy Evan in here. Evan, another miserable 3.5 hours. We will never get back. It is crazy. It is ridiculous. In a word, before you start ripping through a few of the comments here, like in a word, what is the tone? Because we're doing a different kind of, it's a different energy today. It's not like, well, you've seen what it is. What's the tone on the board here today? The messages.
It seems like a majority of people want to get rid of Rodgers, but nobody seems to ever be able to answer the question that we keep posing, which is what is the other
and sport? Do what?
Yeah, and do what? That seems to be the biggest thing that everybody, it seems to be like there's a lot of like, you know, if Rodgers gets in the Hall of Fame, I think the Hall of Fame's a sham. You know, they're going down pretty deep rabbit holes. Here.
Well, listen, Ev, you know what that is. Those are people, and this is certainly their right. I certainly don't agree, and I don't get it. Yeah. But it's their right. Those are people who are just predisposed to dislike Rodgers no matter what, for a multitude of reasons, all of which we've discussed in depth here on the pod. A lot of which comes through with the Enigma, you know, docuseries on Netflix. All right. So read a couple. Are we getting any? Let me just at least cut this off before, hopefully preemptively. Please tell me there's not an overwhelming faction of people who are saying that Tyrod Taylor showed enough today to be the guy next year. Please tell me we're not getting that. I can't handle that. I will close out of I won't even say goodbye. I'll just click out and I will shut down and I'll leave and I'll go do whatever I'm going to do. That's not happening, is it?
No. There's a couple of trolling at the beginning, but there's no serious ones that I've seen that are really jumping aboard. I mean, it's a lot of like, you know, they're saying Garrett Wilson lately is starting to remind them a little bit of Keyshawn Johnson with the whole throw me the damn ball. I don't know if that's a little bit jumping ahead of time. One I thought that was kind of interesting was they were saying, like, despite the fact that it didn't show up in the final stats, like Will McDonald had a really solid day. And if he can keep things going and you get Jermaine Johnson back next year, and you get rid of Hassan Reddick, who's done absolutely nothing.
Oh, he stinks.
You could end up having a pretty solid pair of defensive ends.
I agree. Now, you know, what worries me about Jermaine Johnson is obviously coming back from the Achilles. His main thing is that burst. And to think that, you know, he'll be bad, but think he'll be healthy week one, because he got hurt. He got hurt in the Tennessee game. I was there for that. It was week two when he went down. Damn. So he's going to have ample time to rehab. I would think that he'll be close to a full, maybe modified go for training camp. I would think that he'll play at least situationally in week one. I don't know if he's ever going to recapture the burst. He's young enough. You think he probably has a chance to in the procedure itself, which is very invasive, as I went through with the Achilles. We talked about that with Rodgers many a times. I do think there's been some medical advancements there, which should truncate the rehab. So I agree, Jermaine. And that was a loss that definitely, because it was so long ago, that really impacted the Jets defense. But I'll tell you, and it doesn't matter because he's gone, and I'm not trying to kick him while he's down, but geez, did Joe Douglas ever mess up that defensive line or what? I mean, so when you bring up Jermaine, I'm thinking, yeah, Jermaine, Will McDonald, bookends could be nice. Could be nice for a while. You got to get some run stuffers. If you can't stop the run, which they can't, this is an old story. We hit it every week. Their run defense is deplorably bad. It's bad. So they've got to fix that. But yeah. I would agree. Will McDonald, I forget how many sacks. What is he at, 11? I don't know. Something like that. Yeah. Sounds right.
And it was like he could have got two today, but Josh Allen, right as he's about to go down, flicks that ball out, and somebody happens to be in the vicinity, which blew my mind a couple times. But
why can't we have somebody like Josh Allen? I tell you, I'm sitting there and watching the game, and my son says, he's like, I can't stand Josh Allen. He's like, I hate Josh Allen. I'm like, well, for the first, don't say you hate him. You don't hate anybody. He's just getting annoyed, right? And I'm like, no, that's exactly. I said, Colt, he's on the Bills. I love him. He is everything that you want. He is big. He is strong. He is fast. He is tough. He is durable. He's got a rocket. He can run. He is a leader. I feel he's the kind of guy that every single dude in the locker room loves, whether you're you know, from the farm or from the inner city. And, that's the way you go. I mean, there's a lot of different personalities and ethnicities and religions and economic background. But Josh Allen in a locker room, Josh is one of those guys that he's just a dog. Everybody loves him. Why can't we get somebody like that? Why?
It's insane. Yeah. And it's like, it's crazy how we look at the free agent and trade market and it's all like former Jets. And it's like, we don't want them back. Like
they don't want us back.
But they don't want us back. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want us. We'd be lucky to have these guys for you. Hey, you know, give me Geno for your, okay. Give me Darnold. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. They don't want us. They don't want to sign up for Act 2 of this nonsense. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
And then the other one was a lot of people are hoping that the Browns beat the Dolphins so that next and I know the week 18 scheduling is kind of weird. I think everybody plays at once, but they were saying they're hoping that the Dolphins aren't still in contention next week so that it makes the Jets game like a midday game where they're kind of more on TV than less on TV.
Yeah. Well, how about Romo? How about CBS giving them? I get it's for the Bills, not for the Jets. The A team with Romo and Nance today.
Yeah. How about
that? Like 41-0, whatever it was, 40-0 at one point. Romo and Nance are doing the game. Can we get a game that matters for the guy who's making $18 million a year?
Yeah. I mean, I know.
Like, why did they send them to Buffalo?
Yeah. I guess it was like because they could clinch, right? Because they clinched the division. They're the first AFC team. So I guess that was kind of like the way they looked at it. But yeah, it's just like
they clinched the second seed.
Oh, the second seed, too.
Kansas City.
Gotcha.
And the other thing, I said this. I'm so tired. I understand that there's Bills fans watching the game, but the Jets aren't a national team. Can you stop every year, every week building the graphic? Because now there's always an additional layer of ineptitude. We all know about the 14 years. I didn't even realize. I mean, I knew it, but I'm not thinking about 22 years, no divisional title. I mean, you know it because you lived it, but I'm not thinking about it. 5 straight years, 10-plus losses. Could you stop putting that up? Like, who do you think you're educating? Why do you put that up?
Yeah, it's like the majority of people watching are either Jets fans that are pissed off. It's Bills fans that are celebrating. So I guess they're putting that up. But then it's like also you're getting the neutral fans. And it's like they already know that the Jets have stunk for a while. So it's like you're not really doing it outside of like getting a rise out of people in a way. You know, it's like the weirdest way of going.
I mean, listen, the other thing, just to wrap back up and get it back to the Rappaport report. And I'm sure this will be more of a story as we get deeper into the week here. you know, the end solution is simple. You've really got to sit down with Aaron. Well, first you probably sit down with Garrett by himself, and you really you've got to gauge what's in his heart. And the problem now is, you know, there's nobody in the building that's going to be there outside of Woody, and you don't trust him to do it the right way that could do it now. So you got to kick the can down the road a little bit. And then eventually when you hire whomever you're about to hire, they've got to get the honest answer and hope that Garrett is forthright and, you know, transparent and very forthcoming with what's in his heart. And if he wants to stay here, and, you know, I can understand the frustration from losing, but the report is not derived from losing, although I know he's not happy about it. It's about an individual thing, which always turns me off. And again, the numbers are just irrefutable. He gets thrown the ball a lot. He's got a lot of receptions, and, you know, I get it. Not a lot of touchdowns, but, you know, think about it this way, because again, the most important thing here is the time of possession, which I said, when you're 25th, think about this. Just equate this to any other sport. When you're 25th in time of possession, and as an offensive player, specifically somebody who's a skill position player like Garrett, your statistics are predicated on frequency. Like, the more reps your offense gets, the more chances you have to make plays. Well, let's take a number three hitter in baseball. If the number one and the number two hitter aren't doing their job, guess what? Your RBI total, if they're not on base, is going to go down. You know, if you're an NBA so whack now with, you know, 53s a game, but, you know, if you're if you're an NBA team and you have a point guard who is a low efficiency but a high usage rate chucker, and, you know, he's shooting too much and your numbers are adversely impacted because he's shooting too much and it's not justified based on the production, based on the lack of efficiency, all right, I could see you doing a little chirping here. But it's, you know, it's when you don't have the ball. And the other thing, too, and, you know, we all know the Jets get no turnovers, right? They just don't. It's amazing. It is amazing how little they force turnovers. And when you force turnovers, you know, generally you get a short field. You know, if you have, you know, even if you're middle of the pack, not top five or top 10, middle of the pack, they're basically dead last or second to last. You know, when that happens, that's, you know, over the course of a year, 5, 6, 7 extra chances over the course of 17 games to score a quick touchdown, tack on even if you only get a field goal. How many games have the Jets lost by a couple of points? It all manifests itself, and there's always a connection and a correlation to how many snaps do the Jets actually take? How many of the snaps they actually take? I know that they've been more imbalanced the last couple of weeks, throwing more than running for the most part. Not so much today, but certainly before today. And then how many snaps do they take? How many throws of the snaps do they make within the snap count? It's going to dilute the quantity of volume for everybody, most notably somebody like Garrett Wilson. And then you inject somebody like and insert Devontae Adams midseason-ish, and it's going to further impact how many times he gets the ball. So that's it. That is the long and short of it. I am going to sign off. I've got nothing else to say about this. I really don't. What else is there to say? The Jets are miserable every single week. And again, I'm not even saying that I wanted them to win today. I didn't. You know, I didn't think that they'd win. I didn't really even think that they would remotely compete. Because going into the game, I thought it would be 9 degrees up there and probably snowing sideways, although it was actually unseasonably warm up there and down here. But I didn't think they'd have a chance. You know, I'm just watching. Show me a little something, Rodgers, here. And show me something a little more like you have the last 8 games with 14 touchdowns and only one pick. And today's going to be a day, as I pointed out at the start, which I think will wrongly embolden those who think it's absolutely without any conversation time to get rid of Rodgers. Go back, the two plays everybody's going to critique on social media, the tip interception, that's Warren's fault on the right side, horrendous job blocking, doesn't, you know, the defender gets his hand up, boom, tip, that's, you know, so we talked about that. And then, you know, Max Mitchell, who's just atrocious. He's certainly not a left tackle. He's not even a serviceable guard or whatever else he could play, but you got to put him a left tackle, you're cooked. But doesn't even move his feet, like he reaches, and then Rodgers has nowhere to go, and that will be a license for those to critique. Ah, Rodgers can't move. Ah, he can't see the field. Ah, he holds on to the ball. No, it's the left tackle's fault. But many of you won't see that because it doesn't fit your convenient anti Rodgers narrative. Okay. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Enjoy it. Happy early New Year's to everybody. Hopefully you guys had a great Christmas and Hanukkah as well. So that's it. Check out the pod. Let your friends know about it. Appreciate you guys hanging today. All right. Spotify, Apple, get the word out there. We're a step closer to this nonsense ending. And I know we've been here before. There's a chance it's rinse, repeat, same cycle in 4 years again. I get it. But there's also a chance that it's not. And that is the essence of the pod. Where is it? I always get twisted. Unkillable, right? Unkillable. We're still here. We're still breathing. We're beaten. We're battered. We're smashed. We're bored. We're apathetic. We're lonely. We're angry. We're all that stuff pertaining to our football team. But we're still here because you guys love your team. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. And I've been to Lambeau, and you can tell me some other great fan bases. For the amount that the Jet fan puts in, the amount that you put in, the investment in emotion and the investment in money compared and contrasted to what the Jets give you back as a consumer is the single greatest disparity in any sport right now. Nobody gives out more and gets less than you. That's why I'm here for you. I'm one of you, and we do this every week. I'll be back during the week, probably Wednesday or Thursday for sure. And then we'll wrap up the season next Sunday. So again, have a safe New Year celebration. Apple, Spotify, check it out. Let your peeps know, and I will talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.